Welcome to the New York 2009 Operational Scoring for English Language Arts. My name is Terry Rabine, and this audio section covers the scoring of the Grade 8 Reading Cluster, questions 31, 32, 33, and 34, found in Book 3 of the January 2009 New York State English Language Arts Test. Please find the passages Drawing Calvin and Hobbes and Lucky Break on pages 1 and 3 of the Scorer Training Materials book for grade 8. Now take a moment to read the passages and then resume the audio file. When you return, we will look at the rubrics for this cluster, review the scores assigned to the anchor papers, and determine why the papers were scored the way they were by a range-finding committee composed of New York State educators. Please pause the audio file now. I'd like to encourage you to take plenty of notes in your scoring guide. Mark up the material in any way that is helpful to you, as these guides are yours to keep. We encourage you to use your notes throughout this scoring project and as a reference tool during live scoring. We have found that scorers who take extensive notes during scoring training learn the rubric faster and are more consistent in their scoring. In the reading cluster, the student is asked to complete a graphic organizer and answer two short response questions and one extended response question. In the cluster scoring, both a generic rubric and a specific rubric are used to determine the score. If you turn to page 5, you'll find the generic rubric for the reading cluster. On the following pages, you will find the rubric chart, which has the same information in horizontal format. There is one additional column, quality, which further clarifies meaning, development, organization, and language use. This chart is a useful tool in scoring. Please pause the audio file now and review the generic rubric and the rubric chart. Okay, now turn to page 9 to find the specific reading-writing rubric. This rubric describes typical answers for each score point. Please pause the audio file now and read through the specific rubric. Now, please read along again as I talk us through each score point. First, a 5-point response demonstrates a thorough understanding of both passages. The similarities and differences in the work habits of Bill Watterson and Roald Dahl are clearly understood. The graphic organizer is complete and accurate. The short responses provide the necessary text-based details, and the extended response is organized, focused, and fluent, and has a sense of engagement or voice. A 4-point response demonstrates a predominantly literal understanding of both passages. The graphic organizer is essentially correct, and the short responses may summarize information, be general, or not be fully elaborated. The extended response shows a clear attempt at organization, but may occasionally introduce extraneous information. Overall, the responses lack the elaboration needed to receive the highest score point. A 3-point response begins to show some gaps in the student's understanding of the passages. The graphic organizer may contain inaccuracies, and the short responses may be incomplete or contain irrelevant information. The extended response may attempt to address all parts of the task, but may be incomplete. A 2-point response demonstrates little evidence that the student has understood more than sections of the passages. The graphic organizer is incomplete or contains inaccuracies. The short responses may be brief and general or incomplete. The extended response may be very brief or not sustain a focus. A 1-point response demonstrates the student has understood only sections of the passages and includes almost no text-based details. The graphic organizer is incomplete or inaccurate, and the short responses may show confusion. The extended response focuses only on minor points of the passages. Finally, a zero-point response is completely incorrect, irrelevant, or incoherent. On the next page, you will see the specific reading-writing rubric chart. Like the generic rubric chart, this chart has the same information found in the specific rubric, only in a horizontal format. Pause the audio file as needed to review and become familiar with both versions of the generic and specific rubrics. Now turn to page 12, and I will go over the first question in this reading cluster. Question 31 asks, Bill Watterson discusses several challenges he faces in his work. In the diagram below, describe three of those challenges. The possible exemplary responses include thinking of good ideas, working under time or deadline pressure, feeling enthusiastic about some aspect of the work, a writing schedule that varies a great deal, sometimes not being able to write anything at all, fussing with the wording, weeding out mediocre work, re-evaluating the rough compositions, time-consuming and tedious tasks like coloring the Sunday strip, and any other relevant text-based response. Next, we have question 32, which asks, How does the message in this cartoon by Bill Watterson apply to his own method of working? Use details from both the cartoon and the passage to support your answer. The possible exemplary response for this question is, The cartoon tells about Bill Watterson's method of working. The cartoon starts with Calvin looking as if he's goofing off. Watterson says when he stares at a blank paper to come up with ideas, it looks like he's goofing off. Calvin says that creativity cannot be turned on and off like a faucet. Watterson says great ideas rarely come easily. Calvin says the right mood for creativity is last-minute panic. Watterson says sometimes he's up against a deadline and must just get his writing done. Here are some possible details from the passage that the student may include in the response. To come up with ideas, Watterson holds up a blank sheet of paper, stares into space, and lets his mind wander. Watterson says his method of coming up with ideas can look like goofing off. Watterson says great ideas rarely appear suddenly. Watterson likes to sit outside when he writes. Watterson never knows what will trigger a workable idea. If Watterson is right on deadline, he does not have the luxury of extra editing and any other relevant text-based detail. The second short response is from the second passage, Lucky Break. Question 33 asks, In what way does Roald Dahl's notebook, Short Stories, play an important role in his writing process? Use details from Lucky Break to support your answer. The possible exemplary response for this question is, Roald Dahl writes most of his initial story ideas in his notebook. The promising ones are always used, and most of his children's books started out as notes in this notebook. Dahl says that his notes show that a story can be created out of slender threads of ideas. He cannot begin to write a story without the beginnings of a plot which springs from ideas in his notebook. Some possible details from the passage that relate the importance of Dahl's notebook and his writing process are, Dahl records his story ideas in an old-school exercise book labeled Short Stories. Just about every story and book Dahl has written started out as a 3 or 4 line note in his notebook. The promising ideas are always used, and the idea notes demonstrate from what slender threads a book or story can be woven. Other possible answers are, the story builds and expands while it is being written. Dahl says a story cannot be started unless the beginnings of a plot are there. The notebook gives Dahl the beginnings of his plots. And finally, any other relevant text-based detail. Let's move on to the extended response. Question 34 asks, Bill Watterson in Drawing Calvin and Hobbes and Roald Dahl in Lucky Break discuss their approaches to their work. Write an essay in which you describe the similarities and differences between the work habits of Watterson and Dahl. Explain how their work habits contribute to their success. Use details from both passages to support your answer. In the exemplary response, the student has to describe the similarities and differences between the work habits of Bill Watterson and Roald Dahl and explain how their work habits contribute to their success. The response must include appropriate text-based details from both passages to support the ideas presented. The rubric for this response provides exemplary responses for the similarities, differences, and success-building work habits of both Watterson and Dahl. Note that there are several possible details to include in the response. We will see many of them when we go over the training papers. On the next pages, you'll find the scoring considerations for cluster responses and the ELA condition codes, which are used only in scoring open-ended questions and are applied in very specific circumstances. Both pages will be useful during live scoring. At this point, you should pause the audio file and go over the individual rubrics, the scoring considerations, and the condition codes. Then resume the audio file, and we will go over the rangefinders for this reading cluster. Please pause the audio file now. Okay, let's move on to the anchor papers. These are sample papers demonstrating the score points and which responses are acceptable and which are not. The anchor papers were chosen out of field test papers by a range-finding committee consisting of education professionals and were then approved by the State Education Department. Note that there is often more than one anchor for each score point. We have included multiple papers for some score points to illustrate the range within each score point. Please turn to page 19. Here we find the anchor papers for the first reading cluster. At this time, please pause the audio file and read all 11 clusters. Then resume the audio file, and I will talk us through the main points of each cluster. Please pause the audio file now.